You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
Welcome back to The Wire. Finance Minister Nicola Willis and Energy Minister Simon Watts have announced a package of measures designed to improve the affordability of electricity in New Zealand through new projects and gas exploration, with little details to offer on timeline or cost. Employees and Manufacturers Association have called the announcement underwhelming, and the major electricity users group says there is no evidence the plan will make a difference in affordability in the next decade. Defence Minister Judith Collins has announced a defence industry strategy that will see further investment into defence in order to develop advanced tech and lethal weapons for export from New Zealand. She says the plan will boost New Zealand's military strength and support our local weapons and tech industries. As well, last week, three New Zealanders were among hundreds of activists detained from the Freedom Flotilla seeking to get humanitarian aid into Gaza. The activists will be deported on Wednesday from Israel to Jordan, but calls have been renewed for the New Zealand government to step up on its commitments to responding to the situation in Gaza. I spoke with National MP Carl Bates about all of these topics, starting with the electricity plan. Can you explain what this electricity plan that was announced last week hopes to achieve for affordability for New Zealanders and what kind of timeline you're looking at?
So at the moment, we have some gaps in our energy system that are keeping prices high for consumers, and that's not something that anyone wants. So at the moment, we as a country are producing a huge amount of energy. More energy has been commissioned in the last 18 months than in the last 15 years. So clearly, we've been doing something right. However, we don't have enough backup options during our dry years, which is particularly when the problem arises around high prices, when we can't rely on our hydro lakes or wind to meet demand. So the government's announced, as you said, a range of initiatives that will help increase our supply of electricity and ultimately improve affordability.
How does this plan recognise and uphold New Zealand's goals to move towards renewable energy and our wider commitments to climate targets?
So there's been a huge focus on renewable energy within my own electorate of Whanganui. There are a number of onshore wind farms that are either in the process of being consented or being consented, and then offshore wind farms, for example, are going through the process, and the government makes some announcements around offshore wind farms, which are both things that drive to your point about renewable energy and increasing renewable energy in New Zealand. However, we've got to make sure that we transition to renewable energy in an appropriate manner, and this plan is about ensuring that we get that balance right.
Are you in support of union calls for electricity generators to be brought back into public ownership?
No, that's a sensationalist headline that the unions are trying to grab. This package is about ensuring that we provide the capital requirements to our major energy generation companies that the government is a stakeholder in, and making it clear to them that the government will participate as a capital partner, as a shareholder, in appropriate build of new generation that's required. We don't need to renationalise the energy companies in order to achieve that.
Next up, I'm talking about the defence industry strategy. What are the benefits the government is expecting from this strategy, which is investing hundreds of millions into advanced tech and weapons?
So the defence industry strategy details how the defence and the defence industry will work together to deliver the equipment and infrastructure in the defence capacity plan while growing local businesses. So ensuring that as much of that supply occurs here in New Zealand as possible, because New Zealand is not immune from the increasing tensions felt throughout the world. So we've got to build resilience in our supply chains so that we're less affected by events that are ultimately outside our control.
Defence Minister Judith Collins was talking a bit about this context of increasing tensions that New Zealand isn't immune to. Can you talk a bit about these and how this plan specifically will be the best way to respond to those?
So I think those are really good questions for the Minister. I think over the last couple of years we've seen increasing tensions internationally, whether it be from the impact of COVID, whether it be some of the challenges around international trade, or whether it be things like the devastation that's occurred in Ukraine. These all have an impact, and Gaza, but they all have an input into and can create challenges for our international supply chains. And those are the sorts of things that we're looking to create resilience around.
Are you concerned that this defence industry strategy is putting New Zealand money and investment into an industry that doesn't directly benefit Kiwis, especially in terms of the cost of living?
So by focusing the strategy on buying from New Zealand, that's going to increase activity here in New Zealand, businesses and work, and that ultimately results in more high-paying jobs here in New Zealand. And I think that's a great thing.
My final questions are relating to the Freedom Flotilla last week. Do you think that the New Zealand government should have done more in support of the activists who were illegally arrested from the Freedom Flotilla?
So as you are probably well aware, New Zealand has had a do not travel advisory in place for Gaza for several years. MFAT has conveyed, though, to Israel that we expect New Zealanders to be treated in accordance with international law, and consular assistance is being made available to New Zealanders.
How is New Zealand supporting efforts to get urgent humanitarian food and aid and supplies into Gaza?
We have called for an immediate ceasefire and the release of all Israeli hostages for some time. We've called for unhindered humanitarian aid to Gaza, and we've also announced another $10 million of new financial contribution to Gaza's humanitarian crisis.
Green Party co-leader Chloe Swarbrick is calling for six government MPs to support her members' bill to sanction Israel for their actions in Gaza. Will you consider supporting this bill?
We don't engage in members' bills and foreign policy specifically through the media or through the biscuit tin, so I've got no comment on that.
That was the National Party's Carl Bates on the holidays. That was the National Party's Carl Bates on the electricity plan, the defence industry strategy, and Freedom Flotilla activists.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.